Succession is a beast that's affecting, will affect every single farming family.
G'day and welcome back to the FarmsWise podcast, where we talk everything agribusiness. Now, this episode is all a part of Beyond the Tax Return series that we've collaborated with the team at Biofields over in Western Australia, but all the conversations are applicable for Australian agriculture and how you can run your farm that little bit better, where we look to break down the issues of farm management, operations, and improving your outcomes. And who doesn't want to get a good start on 2022 to really knuckle down and make those numbers count? We wouldn't be anywhere without farms, and especially family farms, with the listeners predominantly coming from farming families. With 85,000 plus family owners, we like to do our best to keep it that way. Make sure on this episode you share the podcast, give it a review on Apple Podcasts, and even a cheeky 5-star review. But let others know what you think of the podcast, what you've gotten out of it. We've had a huge 2021 season, and we're doubling down in 2022. We'll be there right with you right the way through the year with one weekly episode to keep your ears at bay and improving your farm. Now for this episode, it is intended as general information only, as the host and guests do not know your personal circumstances. Please talk to your own accountant or the team at Biofields to get the right information for your own circumstances. Now let's get into this episode of Beyond the Tax Return series with Biofields team. Now, let's get stuck into this episode. And welcome to the FarmsWise podcast, Jared Ryan from the team at Biofields over in WA. How are you going today?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jack. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. Certainly, there's been a lot of people on Biofields on and been listening to them as you've as they've gone. So it's great to be here.
Absolutely. And for yourself as the latest team member from Biofields coming on the podcast, you probably get the most listened, as when we first launched with Biofields episode Beyond the Tax Return, I think we only had 2,000 listeners a month, and last month we had 7,000. So it's really come leaps and bounds this year as we go to wrap it up.
Yeah, it's a really great initiative by you, Jack, and I've really been enjoying listening, and hopefully a few of your listeners today get something out of it.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, to get one key takeaway that they can go away, implement it into their own farming operation, or just use it as motivation. But enough about us. Let's get into what you're all about, Jared, and give us a bit of a spiel about your background and how you landed yourself at Biofields today.
Yeah, no worries, Jack. You got to be careful asking those sort of questions, mate. I'll take up half your podcast talking about me. I'm a manager in the Perth office. Yeah, dealing with pretty well 100% farming clients, which is great. Classic wheat sheep model.
Yep.
I'm originally from a family farm, little location called Moody Arab, which I think if you Google it, you might find it. Otherwise, it's a small little location between Cogin up and Darkin, which is 3 hours out of Perth. Nice little spot, and that's where I grew up. Yeah, I went to university and studied accounting, as dad was pretty keen to make quite clear that if I wanted to come back to the farm, I need to understand the numbers of the business and not just how to shear a sheep. So I fortunately was able to tick off both. I did learn how to shear a sheep and I did learn the numbers, but both were pretty critical back then. Continued on doing university, and then upon graduation went back to the farm full time. So I was back there probably about 8 years or so. Then my sort of late 20s, took up an opportunity to get a job at Biofields doing agricultural accounting, which just made sort of sense. But Dad and I kept the farm going. So all of my weekends, all my annual leave was spent going back to the farm. So either helping out with shearing, or Dad and I would do our own crutching. So yep. I was pretty busy up and down the Albany Highway. And then during that time, got married, had a few kids, now got three under six. completed my CPA and kept working at Biofields full time and now manager. So, yeah, probably looking back, been pretty busy.
Absolutely. And all tying it in within agriculture, great to be working with clients from farming background. You mentioned like you went back to the family farm to work with your old man and how that played out, because Brant Jansen previously with Biofields on the first episode of the Harvest series talked about children returning home and how that plans out, or if you've even planned for it as a farming family. It's probably something that's pushed to the back of the mind and you're not really thinking about it. You just want your kids to come home and start working on the farm. How did that all play out for yourself?
Look, to be honest, like everyone, I think anyone from the country has that hook back. So it doesn't really seem to matter where you go and what you do. Your home and heart seems to always be back there. So although I already had an accounting degree and I was offered opportunities pretty much to work straight away, I politely declined them all because you sort of have that niggle in your stomach that I think if you didn't go back and give it a go, you'd probably kick yourself going forward. So whether that was a conscious decision or not, but I think it was just always inevitable to want to go back home and give it a go.
Yeah, absolutely. It is always that hook that you've got into agriculture, but specifically for children that are raised on farm, you always feel like you have to go back. Some don't always want to go back, but for others, it's just really sucked them in and it become a bit of a passion for them rather than a job. And it really needs to be, doesn't it?
Well, I think that sums up farming in itself. I think if you looked at farming objectively, if you looked at all the challenges that get thrown at it, no different with the eastern states almost underwater while trying to harvest, and WA's had now heavy rain, it's obviously had serious frosts for some of our growers through the eastern wheat belt. If you looked at farming objectively, you'd probably say you'd be mad to do it. There's probably an easier way to make a dollar, but it's that emotive hook to it that's, I suppose, what keeps us going. I don't think if you didn't have that emotional hook, it'd be a hard sell to want to go farming, I think.
Yeah, 100%, especially this year rings pretty true as well. If you hadn't got your crops off, you're looking pretty worried with this rain coming, especially on the East Coast. We've been battered with some rain and we're due for more. And I just saw a news article that we shouldn't be prepared for a sunny summer. So it's going to be pretty wet ongoing. Perfect for livestock, but for those crops out there that haven't been harvested yet, it's currently probably mid-harvest, so a bit worrying.
Yeah, no, and look, and the trouble going back to the livestock thing, well, it's all well and good. People say, go get some livestock. Well, livestock are at record prices, so you can't chop and change industries that you're in. It's good if you've got the mixed wheat sheep model, but it's amazing the amount of people that are either all in cropping or all out sort of thing. So, when you've got all your eggs in that basket and obviously, with the way the season's going at the moment, it's a bit of a worry and pretty challenging for a lot of growers.
Yeah, absolutely. If only you could drop ship some sheep or cattle into the buyer's wallet, that'd be unreal. But, mate, thanks for coming on. Give us a bit of a spiel about your background. It's always pretty cool to find out about the guests behind the audio on the show. So thank you very much. What are we going to be talking about today?
Look, it's effectively, we basically came up with something that, like all of us sitting in machinery going up and back these days, you're desperately looking for something compelling to listen to. You can only go through your Spotify playlist so long. So it was really just some key take-home messages that were really revolving around planning strategies that people will be no doubt, thinking about their own scenarios and what's a few take-home messages from that they can take from it going into 2022.
Yeah, absolutely. Planning within farming is a necessity for farmers that looking to prosper in their outlook, but also looking back on how their previous plan worked or what they didn't tick off or what they did tick off and how that can set them up to finish and achieve those goals they've set up initially for 2021 harvest and beyond.
Yeah, I look at it's farming's one of those beasts. Look, I'm sure there's other industries as well that rely on planning heavily, but I just think there's so many variables with farming that get thrown at you in any one year. You really need to be able to control what you can control and look as far into the future as realistically can as a bit of a guiding post. So yeah, planning is from my experience of either running the farm with dad or advising at client level, it's planning in general is critical. Absolutely.
100%. It's bloody annoying when you do get these seasons just coming through at harvest time, getting the biggest drenching that we've had in quite a while, with the drought previously pretty well right across Australia and a few are still in it. Planning, like having your A plan and your plan B as well, trying to navigate out of that. So I suppose we'll talk about it all on today's episodes. A few header thoughts for yourself to have a think about with your family, with your harvest crew, or wherever you may be. You can never plan too much for your own farming operation or even your own goals.
Yeah, so now probably the best thing to do, all the thought, is break it down small and look at the shorter term planning. It's going now into harvest. So at the end of the day, most people are desperately trying to get the program off and managing staff and probably learning what went wrong and what went right last year, from whether it be from machinery point of view or a paddock planning point of view or a logistics point of view. So I wish everyone all the best for that. And then obviously a lot of our growers, well before sort of harvest, we're starting to talk about obviously grain's been at phenomenal prices sort of thing. So trying to manage their marketing point of view. So when they're going into harvest and speaking to their grain brokers, or even when they do it themselves, a lot of clients are sort of worried about, well, what do I do with all this grain? Do I cash it? Do I pull it? Do I defer it? So we always strongly advocate for pre-harvest tax estimates. They're pretty rough. Effectively, it's a lot just basically sort of saying, well, how much grain do you reckon is coming in based on the cost that you've had? This is going to be your estimated tax position. Now, they can take that information away and go to, and then if tax isn't a problem, go sell to your heart's content. Or if there is a bit of a tax burden, at least they're aware of it and they can sell accordingly and we can review it later. So so we would have gone into the pre-harvest estimates. Generally following on from that, after harvest, the farm, well, people that have farm consultants generally sort of come in and you're preparing the budgets for the future year and now dealing with those grain proceeds that have come in, which is, works out really, really well. And they'll have all sorts of pressure this year now trying to deal with the rising input costs, which I'm sure you would have
absolutely
heard. bit of a worry, unfortunately, sort of thing. I think a lot of that cream that's going to come from the high grain prices could get gobbled up at the other end, putting the next year's crop in.
Yeah, for those that do have their crop off and getting top dollar for whatever sort of grain, cereal, pulses they may have grown, and that's getting sapped up by next year's fertilizing costs, it's through the roof currently. And that's even if you do get your crop off, hopefully it doesn't knock the yield around too much to fill that up so that you are ready to go again next year and preparing for that time as well. Because it has to start before you get there, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we've got some growers that got seriously affected by a frost that we had in the eastern wheat belt back in September, and some people were marginally affected and other growers were significantly affected. And trouble with frost is generally they are a expensive crop, because we had a fantastic start, so people were throwing the kitchen sink just about at the crop because it was looking so good, and then the frost comes in and people are very worried in what they're actually going to get back. And then now you actually start having a budget for next year's program when you're suffering a fair bit of hurt potentially this year from a pretty ordinary harvest from the frost. So it's a bit of a, competent both ways, unfortunately.
Absolutely. But something that you really need to think about, as most farmers are probably currently in the middle of harvest, they've probably pulled up, put the headers up and gone to the pub, or they're sitting back and listening to a podcast, watching the rain piss down. But apart from getting the grain to the bin, as an accountant, what's your experiences in seeing what the best growers out there are doing currently and how they're getting up ahead of themselves for leading up to harvest, during and after. The planning that goes on around this is pretty intricate and detailed. What have you observed in your experiences?
Look, I still think from our accountant point of view, it's that key group of advisors playing their role. So at the end of the day, provided the budget and everything's been set and you've marketed your grain accordingly, that's when people start calling us up and saying, hey, what are we doing with these numbers? And effectively, the reality is we are tax accountants and people want to know their tax scenario. So not only will we be doing the full tax estimate and saying, well, look, this is the tax position if you do nothing, then we start implementing tax planning suggestions, but also people that get in early with their tax estimates, so they're pretty detailed, talking about planning, we'll start to more often than not say, okay, well, what are you trying to aim at in the next maybe 1 or 2 years? And so is there business restructures that need to go on? Is there land transfers that need to go on? Is there some other form of succession that's bubbling on in the background that sort of now's the time to sort of jump in amongst obviously the tax planning side of things, but push these other matters along as our general, not general, our key cutoff point for most of everything is 30 June. So yep. if you want to have a restructure, or if you want to do that land transfer, well, at the end of the day, we generally need to get everything done pre 30 June. So we get a clean slate for the 1st of July. And that takes time to implement. So from a planning point of view, the best planning that clients can do is get the crop off, speak to their respective advisors through that chain, and then come to us as early as practically possible, generally before seeding, so we can get some of this stuff, you know, rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the guys that are storing? So grain storage across Australia has probably improved drastically on farm. Mm-hmm. What about those guys that are probably get their dollars worth probably in the new year, X farm grain?
Well, at the end of the day, people that can store more grain on farm obviously then have the ability to average across out, you know, make the most out of the market as the market changes, sort of thing. So that's probably where the growth of on-farm grain storage is going. And we've got clients with serious storage facilities, but it just means they're literally trucking out grain almost all year round and watching the market. So, you know, that's a good planning opportunity for them, but obviously that comes at a cost as well to implement it. But yeah, it's certainly a growing trend for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably if you do have some downtime during harvest, having a little bit of whiteboard session with your harvest crew, if it's one person or it's 60 people, it's pretty important to get everyone on the same page before you go off to the pub and have a beer to see what the goals are of this harvest and how you can better prepare leading into Christmas, because no one really wants to be worrying about all the faff of post-harvest coming into Christmas. We all sort of want to break if we're off the header and finished.
And look, the reality is, I suppose, one thing that I've learned over the years, because we all get guilty of just being used to, I suppose, our own farming program. But when you actually get off the farm and either work for other farmers or get involved in the industry in other ways, you see that the scale of some of these businesses is mind-blowing. So, it's sometimes not just, one casual or full-time employee. Like I said, we're talking about serious staff. So, these whiteboard sessions or these reviews are actually getting more and more considered, thought about, documented down, just so they can, you know, get everyone's input and plan that into the future years. But it certainly blows my mind just how involved and progressive a lot of these the modern day farmer is. It's not just a couple of people. We're talking serious teams and good collaboration from all.
But I really think that's the way it's going. You need to start putting your thoughts out on a whiteboard or a piece of paper so others can start to see and transfer the knowledge, which the podcast is trying to tackle as well. Mm. But to have that as a business, a farming operation, to put it down and be transparent with your seasonal casuals or even just your full-time workers is pretty important. you did send across a few whiteboard sessions and they looked at a few things with your positives, ideas, plans, and time wasters. How do they rank on the whiteboard sessions? They're pretty important to cover. Do you want to go in a bit of detail on that?
Oh, look. To be honest, from a listener's point of view, I think at the end of the day, the take-home message is really analysing how the program went. You know, everyone's program is going to have numerous positives and minuses and ideas for growth. But it, like I said, whether it's in a whiteboard or whether it's around the workers' table or whatever, to be able to take a picture of it, to document it, and then say, hey, 9 months down the track, we're getting geared up for harvest XYZ. You know, whether it's recruiting the right people, like the time wasters, well, it's a good people work. Everyone's got different skills and attributes, and you soon work out the ones that probably aren't going to make it. So there's no point recruiting another one of them for the next harvest. So at least if you know what's not going to gel within the team, having that visually knowing works out really well. So the take home is, yes, so the points on the respective whiteboards is really applicable to any real business, but it's just documenting it, I think, is the key.
Yeah, definitely. Where stock is, so livestock, and I'm planning on getting a big whiteboard where you put the property just as a manual sort of thing. We've got apps as well that work, but quite often it's helpful to have something physical where you can see what you're doing for joining and everything. But I imagine it goes hand in hand for cropping as well to see what's happening and what your ideas are for the next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, like, optimizing for the farmers' goals, your clients, what are their goals? Are they looking to improve on next season's harvest, like 1% yield increase, or how introducing a new variety that may play in well for next year's markets? What are their thoughts around that?
Look, to be honest, I think in relation to any particular key varieties and stuff like that, you know, a lot of people probably will get that sort of hands-on advice from there, either from neighbours or from grower groups or from people in the area. I think going forward into what they're trying to the next year is if they want to start talking about the bigger type plans, like we always just say, look, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So I think it's going to be throwing up the bigger type issues of, people are talking about, as you would have seen with the growing in land prices. It's amazing how people are desperately still trying to expand. And should they be leasing? Should they be buying? The machinery requirements around that, funding the kids' education in the coming years, are they going to have to try and support boarding school fees, or is it buying a house in a capital city, or even something simple as, trying to work out ways of funding the older generation's retirement? Those are sort of the bigger picture issues that we are more keen to drive along than compared to particular, grassroots varieties or anything like that on the farm.
What about the short-term decisions that we can make now that will impact for next year? Is that trying to look where we can, like, buying fertilizer now because we think it will go up, or looking at varieties like canola went gangbusters this year, thinking about putting that into our program for next year if you didn't already?
Look, to be honest, some of the wise words I've received from older farmers over the years in my experience is that you can't chop and change it. Well, you can, but you just got to do it carefully, in the sense that next season's an all new ball game. Depends on when the break is. And look, if everyone dives into canola, who knows? Canola might, fall away next year. Like, at the end of the day, people just, it's a little bit sort of like you're just basically hedging your bets and do what you do well.
Yep.
And people know their programs better than you or I, and you know your farm better than anyone else. So there's room for change and there's room for trying new things. But I think diving into one thing or chasing that new pot of gold, if everyone else does it, we've all seen the booms and busts. So there's certainly room to tweak programs, but I think you do need to be careful if you're constantly chopping and changing. There's a lot to be said for just doing what you do well.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just looking out my window now and it's absolutely bucketing down. So fingers crossed for our barley, it's still up. But mate, for longer term planning, how important was it to for yourself as an accountant and also as a farmer with your family farm, how important was long-term planning for yourself?
Well, I would say it's critical. And I think, to be honest, we could just about almost wrap up the podcast there. If someone listening to this in a machine somewhere across the country wants to take home something, is that all those niggles in the back of your head that you're generally thinking about going, oh, what about this? And oh, how am I going to cope with that? These are all longer term questions, I can just about guarantee you. And the best thing you can do is to try and speak to people and address it as best you can, and then work out, okay, what can we do to look at it? Because those challenges, although they may not be on your doorstep now, more often than not, they will be coming in time. So the challenges that I faced were very similar to all your other growers, and predominantly that's going to be around, you know, do you expand? Do you not? Farm viability of the next generation. As looping back to the way we started, most people want to go back to the farm. That's what we all want to do. But at some point, the dollars and cents has to come in, and knowing what the farm can and can't produce, and can it support one, two, three families on it, that needs to be worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And taking the average of that, not just getting it in a good year when it's really wet like this, is pretty important to be able to think about that. But for yourself, like everyone else's scenarios are pretty different, pretty diverse agriculture in Australia. But what would be the top three sort of long-term planning? It would be, I'd put succession in there for sure, and probably expansion. What else would you throw in the bucket?
Well, realistically, succession really forms a large gamut of all of those issues, whether it be farm expansion, retiring the next generation, bringing in the young generation as well. So succession is a beast that's will affect every single farming family, and it's all the little offshoots that come from it. So, you know, we had to grapple with succession, and we went with one direction, and that's going to be different from potentially another farming family. But effectively, at some point, when, you know, that's probably the longer term plan that, you know, you want to plan around, to know that if the plan is to expand, well, you want all your ducks lined up that if that neighbouring property pops up, well, you're in a position to grab it. You don't want to be talking about at that time, oh, do we, don't we? If your plan is to grow, well, you need to have your finances in place. You need to make sure you've got the family workforce in place ready to seize that opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. Having your ducks lined up really plays out. If not, you're probably going to miss out because property is pretty red hot currently. And I think
almost unsustainable levels, I would say, but that's probably another conversation itself. But it's incredible. The finally, probably agriculture is getting the recognition that it desperately deserved for many years, and maybe COVID highlighted that.
Yeah, I think it really did. But like, it's crazy to see that we're still far behind the property prices of overseas, be it that we're probably larger scale than a few other countries, but Canada, America, I think we're still fair way behind there and a bit cheaper per acre.
Yeah, not too sure. Look, probably quite possibly. But certainly, it's certainly, I know from experience that certainly a lot of smaller type growers that would try and, you know, love to pick up another 1,000 or so acres, it seems to be getting harder and harder to get those little add-on blocks. Generally, it's these large farms come on the market. And yeah, whether it be a corporate or a larger syndicate or a larger family take on the whole lot, it then makes it very hard just to pick up that little bit without absolutely, you know, spending an absolute fortune.
Yeah, 100%. In this time, I'm trying to get people to think about optimizing rather than do they really need to scale out. So yeah, it's something to think about on the header in the tractor. or out there working in horticulture as well for harvest period. But for yourself, what did you learn from the whole planning process, what you would do differently now after planning for yourself?
Oh, look, there's a few take-home messages. I think number one is communication, hands down. Now, I was in a very fortunate position that I had really good communication with my mum and dad. So we were able to work closely. We were able to ascertain all the challenges that were coming, and we're able to document that down and go, okay, well, what's the best way of going about it into the future? Now, without communication or when it breaks down, it makes progress in that, well, almost impossible. Nearly all of our new clients that have come on board are due to seeking succession advice has predominantly come about because communication's broken down between all parties.
Yep.
And then for us to then get involved in the middle of it, for the families involved, you don't want to be in that situation. It's a bit of a nightmare. So hang on to communication as best you can and thrash out those ideas around the kitchen table. You don't have to agree with everything, but you can at least have that open forum and communicate well is number one for sure.
Yeah, I think making it that casual conversation makes it a little bit easier. You don't need to get down and write your dot points straight away, but making it as easy and approachable.
Cup of tea at the kitchen table. Coffee. Or coffee. Generally is your best starting point for a lot of these, and that's where we were at. So, and there was probably lots of cups of tea or potentially coffee, but that's your best starting point. And look, give yourself time. That's the whole idea of discussing this in the podcast now, is that if someone sort of gets a bit of a niggle in the back of their head and go, oh, look, I wouldn't mind approaching some of these conversations, well, get in early. So you've got the luxury of time to get this stuff worked out, and then be ready to either A, you know, secure that next farm, or B, you know, potentially look at phasing out. Whatever the option is, it's just much easier to do it with time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it comes back to communication. I see, and for myself, don't rely on like your old man, your mum, or your brother to do the initiation as well. You just need to sort of jump in and start it off yourself if you're keen to get back into it, come back onto the farm or expand, succession, transferring, everything like that.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's you know, hence why I came back. You don't know until you sort of give it a go and actually get immersed in farming 24/7, because there's a lot of romance associated with farming, but there's a lot of tough times as well, as you're hearing the rain pitter pattering outside. You know, it's not always, you know, a lot of fun, but you know, you're not going to know until you give it a go. And then once you've given it a go, then it's trying to work out, okay, how do we take that next step with the next generation? How can we fund it? Might even be having a look at off-farm work or contracting business is generally pretty common, or getting a truck or whatever. Like I say, if you can't necessarily buy that next farm, well, what's that next opportunity to sort of get the end result that you want, to hang on to the farm and keep the family going, but also financially make it all happen as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that play in to making that planning process pretty seamless, but navigating and getting all those elements together is a full-time job in itself. But once you do have all of them lined up, your ducks in a row, you can really do something with that, optimize what you're doing, expand, transfer, and just having that open communication during harvest is probably the best time to think about it. You've probably got some downtime on the header as you're probably listening now, or you're flooded in and listening to this podcast, trying to see how you can improve your own operation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, don't be afraid to ask for help, really. Now, whether it be family members, whether it be a trusted friend or your accountant or your consultant, at the end of the day, a lot of people may have experienced similar problems and might be able to come with a different approach or a different idea on how to progress some of these ideas. So, make sure you speak to people.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up this planning process for the header thoughts, what would be your piece of farm advice for them to take away to set themselves up for 2022 season. Pretty scary that we've already nearly wrapped up 21.
Yeah, I was just going to say, my head's still probably a little bit locked in 2021 at the moment. But look, I think that, look, with agriculture at the end of the day, next year is going to present a whole new world of challenges, whether it's input costs, whether who knows what will happen, you know, with either COVID or, you know, because WA has been a little bit shielded by COVID a little bit, to be honest. So I think we're probably in for a bit of a wake-up call next year as we all start to open up. But I think at the end of the day, we'll all just keep doing our best. The year will evolve and farmers are very adaptable. So the rain will eventually stop, mate, and the sun will come out. And all of a sudden, you know, people adapt to, you know, into the new season. So I think realistically, if people can, you know, speak to their account, get the tax side of things work out, talk about these bigger picture options and break it down small. Do the low-hanging fruit. Yep. See what you can. Don't look at everything, oh, God, how am I going to do all of this now? You know, A, it'll probably take years to do it. B, do the easy stuff.
Yep.
Find the little stuff that you might be able to tick off next year and, you know, progress things along and certainly document your ideas, because then whether it be improving harvest for next year or the longer term plans, you can refer back to it and hold yourself to account and say, okay, well, if I've achieved nothing this year, although I wanted to, well, why not?
Yep.
What was holding you back? So, but I think certainly the season for next year, I think will be, will have its all new challenges, but fortunately farmers are a special bunch and they'll get through it just fine.
Absolutely. Controlling what you can control and don't worry about the rest. We can't really change what the weather's going to do. So just worry about the elements you can control.
Absolutely.
But Jared, thanks very much for coming on and sharing your expertise with the Farms Advice listeners and also myself. I'm always learning with the listeners as well as we talk to all these guests on the show. So really appreciate it, mate.
No, look, thank you very much for having me on the program, Jack. I've really enjoyed it. And look, I wish all the growers out there for a speedy harvest. And I hope that finishes up well for everyone, although I know it's a bit of a challenging time. And it's a bit scary to think they're already cracking into December, but I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and hopefully we'll all catch up in 2022.
Absolutely. And to all you guys out in the West as well. But mate, before we wrap up, let's find out who else is coming on the Beyond the Tax Return series from Biofields. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, no, there's a long line of people that are keen to come on, mate. So at this stage, it'll be Simon Boyd, who's an associate at the firm, and he'll be coming on after me to share a bit more insightful wisdom.
Great stuff, and he'll bring the goods for the podcast. But how can we get in touch with yourself and your expertise, or even just the Biofields team?
Oh, look, at the end of the day, like everyone with their phones these days, I think just look up Biofields online and go to the website, and that's got all the key information. So if anyone has any questions or they'd like to speak to someone, either myself or anyone on the crew, be more than happy just to have a chat and see what we can do to help out.
Beautiful. You'll be able to find all the show notes in the show notes, all the links in the show notes. So you'll be able to find it all there. Well, mate, thanks for coming on. We'll keep in touch.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jack.
So with that done and dusted, are you going to start planning for your 2022 season? No matter what it may be like, if it's looking pretty wet or you're going into a dry start, it really helps to start getting in there and starting to think about it, or even just communicating with your workers, your family, in what's going to go on in 22 and how you can better it on 2021. It's always good to go up in the season, and across the country, it is looking pretty good at the moment. A few crops have been battered, but it is a lot better than 5-6 years worth of drought. So make sure, if you got something out of this episode, share it with your mates, your harvest crew, if you're still going out there. Shout out to all of those in the tractor, out in the paddock, picking the fruit and vegetables coming into summer. And on the East Coast, we're looking to warm up a little bit more this week. So it's going to be really good, a good summer with a lot of moisture in the ground. But don't forget to share this episode with your harvest crew to support the podcast and the hours of sweat equity I've put in. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Only a few more to go in 2021.